Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 30th September 2022, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Shan Hussain, Vice President, FI FX Sales. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Welcome, Derek.
Thanks, Sean.
And welcome to our listeners. We just had another rollercoaster week. Quite a few we've had of late, I must say. A good place to start is the crisis of confidence in the UK markets. We have seen huge swings in sterling this week. Do you see the action taken this week by the Bank of England as helping restore stability in the FX markets? And how do you think sterling will perform over the coming weeks?
Yeah, these roller coaster weeks are definitely becoming the norm. Yes, a massive, massive move. Obviously, cable down to 103.50, a new record low on Monday. And then, as you mentioned, the Bank of England's coming in on Wednesday to restore order to the gilts market. Do I think this is going to be the end of it? I doubt it. As it looks right now, as we speak. The first thing, of course, is the Bank of England had to time constrain their actions, because obviously it's effectively quantitative easing and expanding the balance sheet when they were just about to kick off quantitative tightening. And they're obviously telling us they're going to be hiking rates aggressively. So it's time constrained for that reason till the 14th of October. Why the 14th of October? I don't know of any logical reason for picking that date. I think perhaps they must have been communicating with pension funds and other entities in terms of being able to sort out cash buffers, margin calls, etc., etc. Perhaps that period of time is enough to get financial institutions in a better position. But beyond that, of course, if while that element could be rectified, you know, there is still an onus on the government, I think, to step up here and in this period of time try and restore some degree of credibility to the announcement that took place last Friday. And, you know, there were obvious mistakes in the way they did it. The timing was appalling, given the global backdrop, given the administration was 19 days into being. How could they have come up with a credible plan in such a short period of time? And of course, there was no independent analysis from the Office of Budget Responsibility. So in this period of time, I think it's certainly important to try and give more details, try and add some credibility. There's a lot of supply side reform type announcements as well, and they were all a bit vague and nothing too detailed, and perhaps more detail on that, perhaps some steps to open up immigration to some degree. I know that's politically toxic and very difficult for Liz Truss, but reportedly she is favouring something in that sense, and of course that from an inflationary perspective, given the concerns about wage inflation, would be a step in the right direction. So they need to give more details, and they need to expedite the timing of this fiscal detailed plan and the OBR independent analysis, which at the moment is the 23rd of November. And that's, you know, moons away in these markets. So, you know, the concern is that, you know, with the Bank of England doing what it's doing, and if there's no sense of urgency from the government to try and rectify mistakes that were made, the onus could fall on sterling as the adjustment, and that could put renewed downward pressure on the pound. You know, there's a lot been said about, when you look at the composition of the gilt market, the Bank of England is the biggest holder of gilts, 34% of the market. The pension fund and insurance sector is about 27% of the market. The second biggest holder of gilts is actually foreign investors, 29% of the market. And that's where you could start to see some additional selling going forward if there's no sense of change or urgency. And in that sense, I think that's where the risks lie. There was heavy selling of gilts, according to Bank of England data, in July. But previous to that, there was actually quite good demand. And if you look at it on a 3 or 6 month rolling basis, you know, gilt demand has been pretty solid from foreign investors, but you know, that can turn in an instant, and that could be what we're seeing as well at the moment. So we've had a bounce in cable, but I'm not convinced it's going to last until we get some semblance of clarity from the government in terms of what's been announced. You know, the other, just very quickly, the other potential here is that it just doesn't get through Parliament, and the Tory backbenchers revolt and basically force the government to drop some of the components within this plan to make it more fiscally appetizing. And, you know, we had a YouGov opinion poll last night. The Tories are on 21%. Labour are on 54%. That's a 33 percentage point lead. And within that, the swing from Tory to Labour was 17 percentage points. That's similar to the landslide victory in 1997 for Tony Blair. So there's nothing like an horrendous opinion poll data to, you know, encourage Tory backbenchers to force change in economic policy. And, you know, that is something that could evolve over the next week or two. And that could have been part of the bounce in cable that we've had, the hope that is what could happen. But we'll have to wait and see. But certainly if there's no change, I would imagine the pound is going to come under renewed downward pressure over the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, Derek, for that remarkable insight. So looking beyond the UK, what other themes do you think will be important drivers for FX going forward?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Obviously, the previous time I did this podcast, we were talking about the yen intervention. And today we had confirmation of the amount spent in terms of yen purchases. And it equated to 2.8 trillion yen. And looking back at the data available on the Ministry of Finance website, that is the largest single day intervention ever taken place by the MOF. The next biggest was back in 1998, April 98, when 2.6 trillion was conducted in one day. Aggressive, but again, it's important to state the change in the size of the markets. So according to the BIS, yen FX daily turnover back in 1998, when we had that last record intervention in one day, was about $330 billion. As of April 2019, that figure is nearly four times larger, 1.1 trillion. So we've had a huge increase in volumes. And in a way, that explains this record size of intervention. But relative to market turnover, there were bigger sizes of intervention in the past. But, you know, we're creeping up to the levels where intervention took place. And again, when I did my last podcast, I said that unless the fundamentals change, intervention will not be successful. And we did drop nearly five big figures on the back of the intervention. We've now retraced four of those big figures. We're back within one big figure of where intervention took place on the 22nd of September. And, you know, I think they're either going to have to intervene or allow levels to break and to move higher. But that will be watched next week, given the fact that we'll be getting close to those levels again. And the euro, interestingly, is outperforming most other G10 currencies now. So in September, euro was the second best performing G10 currency versus the US dollar. Only the Swiss franc performed better. Now, we've had this German energy cap funding announcement, potentially 200 billion euro. So huge support coming from Germany. And that, of course, will be the lead for other countries as well. So clearly, we are going to get pretty hefty fiscal expansion to try and shield households from the energy price surge. And I guess from a macro perspective, we kind of already knew that, but you know, this is pretty hefty spending that's taking place. Now, for the short term, obviously broader conditions point to continued dollar strength. But in the medium to long term, what we're seeing is an expansion of high quality liquid assets denominated in euro, this huge fiscal expansion from Germany. And that's been one of the problems for the euro over the long term. It's that kind of lack of size of capital markets for expanding euro as a reserve currency. And again, long term, what's happening is telling us that there's going to be a considerable expansion in high-quality liquid assets denominated in euros. And from a central bank perspective, when we get to these kind of extreme lows, at some point, not now, but at some point, the euro could start to look attractive from a reserve currency perspective.
Thanks, Derek. So final question. Do you have an update for our listeners on your trade ideas published in your FX Weekly?
Yes, so we had one of our most profitable, quickest trades a week ago, where we put on a short cable, short sterling dollar trade, and we had a stop at 104.50, thinking we could let it run for a while. And of course, we hit our target very, very quickly on that. We've actually reestablished, based on what I said to you earlier, I still think we could see some renewed downside on sterling dollar. So we've reestablished a short back at the levels we're at today, 111, just below 111. So we think that could go lower again. And we've maintained our short NOKI Swiss trade view, which is essentially a safe haven, low beta currency, long versus high beta volatile currency, as in NOKI. Dollar NOKI has just broken higher and closing on a monthly basis today at today's level of 1087.50 would be a record monthly closing high for dollar NOKI. And to me, that's a signal of potentially more to come over the short term, especially as we think, you know, from a financial conditions perspective, conditions are going to worsen. We still have more tightening to come. Equity markets are falling. Everything is as you would expect, given what's happened in terms of monetary tightening. And in those circumstances, the dollar is going to continue to perform well.
Thank you, Derek. And
thanks, Sam.
Thank you to our listeners for joining in, and wish you a great week ahead and all the best out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.